Welcome to Positively Psychic. Positively Psychic. 2 hours of fascinating interviews and call-ins with your host, the Positively Psychic medium, Mark Christopher Nelson. Positively Psychic. During the show, Mark will invite you to call in to speak with him and his guests. Call in for a free reading and contact your guides, guardian angels, friends, and loved ones on the other side. Positively Psychic. Join the online chat to share thoughts and experiences with like-minded souls at www.para-x.com. Positively Psychic. Listen in now as the Positively Psychic medium, Mark Christopher Nelson, interviews leading experts in the paranormal field, takes your calls, and answers your questions on Positively Psychic.
Hello and welcome to Positively Psych. I'm your psychic medium host, Mark Christopher Nelson. I'm here with my psychic spouse, Barbara.
Hello, everyone out there. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you. Well, tonight we're going to keep, if you loved listening to Marla and who doesn't, and Richard and all of our other friends, we have a guest I think you'll like very much. She is Fiona Horn, well-known Wiccan expert, author of many books on Wicca, and now she is also has a new CD out called Magical Life, Guided Meditations and Spells for Positive Change. Fiona will be joining us soon, but in the interim, we thought we'd play you one of the cuts. So, Barbara, it's a wonderful CD, by the way. It's very relaxing. As you'll hear, Fiona's voice is just wonderful, and what I like is how good she is in terms of I'm very much in agreement with her views on how things work on the other side and universal energy, and I think you're going to really enjoy listening. So, Barbara, are we ready to play Fiona?
Yeah, I just
want
to make sure everybody can hear us out there.
Yeah, if she isn't coming up loud and clear, please let us know. We're going to be playing the second cut on Psychic Intuition from Magical Life, Guided Meditations and Spells for Positive Change from Fiona Horn. Fiona will be joining us around 7:15, so we look forward to speaking with her then. Okay, so let's play number two, Psychic Intuition.
Psychic abilities are a divine gift bestowed on every human by the sacred source of life that has created all things to be connected. You may have never opened this gift and enjoyed its blessings, but now you can by doing the following meditation. Your psychic powers will only increase the more you practice.
If everyone is having a little trouble hearing Fiona, if you could restart or Barbara, would they restart? Let us know. I'm hoping that you can hear us.
Awakening your psychic ability will help you make the right choices in all areas of your life.
Don't hear
so that every day can be experienced as an unfolding miracle. Challenges will reveal your hidden strengths, and love will magnify within your own life and the lives of those you encounter. Know that time is a window to look through, and past, present, future are simply words to describe the existence of all.
Let's see. The music is a little loud. I'm going to stop talking if you can hear it, and we'll hear what Fiona's guided meditation sounds like.
What do you want me to play?
Oh, yeah, because I guess people could hear it. So, live radio. Barb's going to keep playing it.
Is revealed when you open your psychic eye. attention to your forehead, just over your physical eyes. Centered there is your tool of psychic vision, your third eye. See it closed. Feel the change in sensation that envelops your consciousness now. A subtle heaviness comes over your body, and a sense of calm and peace slowly sweep through you. Something that you need insight on. Focus on the situation and see it with your sacred eye, as if it is being played out on a movie screen for your private viewing. Notice the events, colors, activities, and people. Settle further into your psychic consciousness, and now pay attention to sounds and even scents that make themselves known to you. Trust and know this is not imagination, but pure psychic insight. Take some time to let your insight unfold now.
Hello, this is Mark. Well, I have to tell you, we cut that off a little bit because while it's very relaxing and insightful, I didn't want to have any of you drift away, and I hope that you can hear me loud and clear. I would say that Fiona has some great insights. In fact, what's interesting for me right now is that I'm writing a book on psychic development. And a big part of psychic development for me is meditation. I feel like you cannot do this work without being able to quiet all the other voices in your head. Because you're trying to listen to spirits and beings and consciousnesses, if I'm saying that correctly, that cannot use their lips, their mouth, their email. They are not playing musical instruments. They're counting on you having a very quiet mind so that you can hear what they have to say. I've read something very interesting. It's a Taoist saying that the most useful jug is what makes a jug useful is its emptiness. I'm paraphrasing, but it's a wonderful idea. And that's part of what I try to do now. Some of you might say, well, Mark, that must be very easy for you to have an empty jug of a head. But that in some ways, yes, but what I would tell you is that it's more about being open and clear and not having to worry about all the daily things that we're thinking about and talking about. So that being said, that's what I really, you cannot do this work without being able to set aside things like, oh, am I out, am I taking care of the trash, am I doing this, am I doing that? And so that's why being able to relax too. You know, some people get hung up in the word and get a little bit maybe trapped by the word meditation. Now, what I would tell you is that meditation is how many people describe it, but perhaps a better word is relaxation. Relaxation is really what it's about. It's about being able to be in a position to where you can receive messages. One of the things Barbara and I have talked about, and we both agree, is that you can't go out and force a spirit to speak with you. There is just no way in the world. In fact, what you have to do is be in a position to hear what they have to say. You have to relax, and you have to be very open. Barbara, when you're, Barbara picks up messages too. What is the, your, how does it work for you when you're, how do you relax to get this?
Usually what I do is I lay in bed and I close my eyes and I kind of drift off, not quite in a, well, kind of in a dream state, but not totally. And then I just allow my mind to open up to whatever visions pop in. And I think the hard part is learning how to trust. You have to learn how to trust your guides, and you have to trust what you hear and what you see. So that's a lot of it for me, is when I open up and I trust, then things come in.
Well, Barb, when you're on an investigation, how is it that you're listening? I mean, I can tell you just from my own point of view that I do my work in advance so that when I'm there, I'm kind of ready to go. How does that work for you?
Well, I want to answer a question Jody asked in the chat room. How can you meditate when there are a lot of distractions going on around? You know, Mark can do that, but for me, I have to be in a totally quiet environment. But I know you can do stuff in crowds and stuff, but how do you go about doing that?
Well, Jody, one of the things that is always with you is your breath. And so if I'm in a place, I mean, because I've done readings in restaurants and I'll go out to, I've been on a movie set, or a TV set, and there are just people everywhere. So what I have done, even when it's really crowded, is I'll try to slip away to a corner of a room. You can most likely find a little space, and I'll close my eyes and I'll pay attention to my breathing. I mean, I know we all have, it's tough to do this sometimes. It's one thing I would tell you is that I try to get up early in the morning before anybody else in our home, and that's kind of hard to do. Barbara's an early riser. Our doggies are around. My daughter's jumping up, going to school. So I do try to make a point of getting up before anybody else and perhaps before anybody else is up and going to find this quiet time for myself. So that's really the two ways to do it. Get up before everybody else or stay up a little bit later or another thing that's actually very useful is our guided meditations, much like the one that Fiona did here. You can do this too, but with headphones. If you wanted to cover your ears, there are sound-canceling headphones that can be very helpful, and maybe there's a track where you can, or there's a way for you to listen to a guided meditation. They can be really useful.
And I think one of the things to point out is that they've proven that by meditating, you actually change the brain waves, and which can be a good thing if, you know, you don't want to continue in your same kind of cycle of distress or bad thoughts or whatever. When you meditate and you bring in positive thoughts, you can change the makeup of your brain and, you know, keep the good positive thoughts coming in. So I think meditation is just a wonderful thing, especially in today's stressful world. I think everybody needs to take some time out and meditate.
Well, another thing I can add to that too is going back, I want to elaborate on the idea of your breath. If you're surrounded by a hubbub of say a party, or you're at work, you've got family all around, or you're in at an investigation, and before you walk in, it's hard to get away from everybody. Well, the one thing that is always a constant, and the thing that is most effective about meditation, is finding one thing to pay attention to, and that by paying attention to your breath, or closing your eyes, or finding a focal point, and allowing yourself to really concentrate or just to loosely put your eyes on one thing, or even close your eyes and pay attention to your breath. The idea is by focusing on one thing or one spot, one thing that would be your breath, a light, a photo, whatever it might be, it allows these other things in your mind to quiet, to go away. I hope that helps, but that's really what I do for myself. When I'm say I have been very fortunate to work with some wonderful investigators. And before I go in, I'll say, you know what, I need to step away for a minute. It may seem like I'm being a little self-conscious. I'm not trying to be a prima donna. I just know that if I walk in with everybody else just, you know, talking and being, you know, social, I'm not going to be as effective as I could be. So for that reason, I will just say, give me a few minutes. And it's really, it's like shifting gears. It's almost like, you know, singers are permitted to warm up. I think psychics or people who are developing their psychic ability should be given a moment to warm up. And it really is a shift of gears. It's very easy for me to hear Barbara, to be aware of the things going on around me. But for you to listen more quietly, it does take a shift of your consciousness, a shift of your attention. And it's something that I think most people can do with practice, or many people. And it's really a pleasure. It's something, I think, too, that when you learn to do this, you'll be able to find yourself capable of relaxing or finding a little peace, even in very complex and kind of crazy places. We just had a message from Fiona. She will be delayed just a little bit longer. So we'll talk a little bit more. This is, I mean, I have to tell you, in looking at the CD, and we'll talk about this with Fiona. Barb and I were actually talking about it earlier. It feels very much like a self-help book, except that it's something that you can listen to. I would think that if you're doing something, I would not recommend driving to this late at night, because you might find yourself drifting off at a bad moment. But if you want to really give yourself a little home vacation, where you can find a little peace, inner peace and quiet, this is wonderful. Maybe sitting on a pillow or whatever, Barb.
And I was going to say, too, that Fiona has a wonderful voice to be doing this type of stuff. And I think I believe she writes all her own music, too. So, you know, it's something that you could put on, sit back, have a cup of tea, listen to this, kind of drift off and meditate, too. And she gives some very, very helpful tips about just life lessons, you know. I mean, she's not that old, and yet, I mean, yeah. She has the wisdom of someone much older than herself, and, you know, she just amazes me sometimes. But yeah, she's a wonderful person, and you know, we're very glad to have her on tonight.
I also wanted to say that we're going to have a couple of friends of ours, Joe and Rebecca Mendoza. We're out on an investigation today, so if you can, after we speak with Fiona, we're going to have Joe and Becky call in. They're very interesting. They're good friends of ours, and I wish I could have been out with them today doing this, but Barb and I were both tied up. But they're going to tell us about some, I guess that where they were was very active, and I'm being a little mysterious about where they were because I'm really not sure. But I know that they were in a facility in Los Angeles that had a lot going on, and they were there with some TV crews, I believe, and so there it was hopping. And I can tell you, say, to be in a place like that, you have to be able to find a little quiet, whether it's a physical quiet or it's a mental quiet, in order to do this work. Well, Barb, why don't we see if Fiona's available?
Okay,
let's give Fiona a call. I hope she's there. We'll see. Hello, Fiona?
Oh, there you are. Sorry, I was just unplugging the charger because if it went completely dead, I wouldn't be able to speak with you because my phone takes 20 minutes to charge. Are you there, Mark?
Yes, we are.
Oh, good. Okay, great.
Well, Fiona, thank you so much for joining us. We've been talking a little bit about...
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize we were already live. I'm sorry about that. I just was dealing with a little bit of technology, as you have to.
Well, I hope you don't mind. Barbara's here.
Get your knickers on. You're on the radio.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Fiona. How are you?
Good, thank you. Really good, thank you.
Well, I know, Fiona, you were very busy today. You had mentioned you were out doing some filming or something like that today.
There was a film crew following me around for part of the day for a British documentary for the BBC. So that was
That was interesting. It's good. thankfully, the people that were working on it are super nice, so it was fun to sort of interact with them a little bit. Busy day, and as we speak, I have to say I'm shoveling a few Ritz crackers and a bit of cheese into my mouth, first thing I've eaten all day. It's okay.
Well, we'll talk
gotta do
a
little
it. Bit, yeah.
I thought maybe you could play a track off my album and I could quickly shovel a few more Ritz crackers in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, you don't have to now. I just mean at some point during the interview and I'll take another quick bite to eat.
Well, we played your second track, the psychic intuition one, which was beautiful.
Oh, cool.
I love that one. And,
thank you. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I feel like I should have called it psychic sleep intuition because when I put it on, it makes me sleepy. It's like a good one to listen to fall asleep to. And then have psychic dreams, you know?
Well, you have a very relaxing, lovely voice that makes it very easy to listen to. I wanted to ask you, what was, you've written a number of books, a lot of books.
9 books.
And oh wow, that qualifies as a lot, Fiona. And I know you've produced a lot of music, but this feels very much almost—it's a wonderful teaching tool, I would say. What was the inspiration for you to create this magical life, guided meditations and spells for positive change?
Well, I guess when I got to, I had the opportunity, I guess, to release a solo album called Witch Web of musical tracks a couple of years ago. And coming from a long background in music, when I was in my band FFX in the 90s and right into early 2000, I've obviously loved music and created a lot of music and expressed my spiritual and esoteric interest through the lyrics that I've written, the songs, you know, that I've written. And when I did my solo album, Witch Web, the songs were very much, you know, more overtly than ever before inspired by my spiritual life and interests. And a lot of feedback I got from people was, this is great. I mean, there was one song on Witch Web that was called Love Spell, and it literally was a love spell put to music, turned into a song. And people responded really strongly to the tracks on that album that were like that. And I thought, well, why not record an instructional CD and addressing the main questions that I'm asked from people. And, you know, and I've been out there out of the broom closet in the public eye as a witch and psychic for over 13 years now. Certainly been practicing a lot longer than that, but been very out in public for about 13 years. And I know what I get asked the most. And I always get asked, is everyone psychic? If we are, how can we develop those powers? How can we use them to help us in our lives? And I always get asked about love spells, you know, can I do it? Is there a spell to make someone fall in love with me? Or is there a spell to get rid of someone who's blocking me from the one that I want? Or all these crazy, crazy questions to do with love. But understandable, because love does make us crazy sometimes. And so I decided in creating this CD to address those main themes and issues. So there is, you know, like the psychic intuition track, there's lifetime love spell, you know, so love spells. Basically, if you follow my instructions and perform the spell as I instruct, you can expect to experience some kind of change for the better in your situation. And I guess this is a spoken word CD, but at the same time, I was privileged to work with the composer who helped me write, record, and produce my Witch Web solo album a couple of years ago. And his name's Paul Searle. And Paul created the beautiful ambient, the layered ambient soundscapes that accompany each track on this album. And you know, so you're kind of getting a little bit of a musical experience. We created the ambient soundscapes to support the content of each track and its intention. So to help facilitate the lesson, I guess, and make it more effective.
Fiona, I wanted to ask you in your spiritual walk, how, you know, some people I think get hung up on the word spell. How is a spell in your mind different from, say, a prayer?
Well, a spell usually has more things going on in a tactical sense. So a prayer is usually, you know, you might place your hands to your heart and you might, you know, express mentally or even speak out loud to a divine entity or consciousness and project your intentions, desires and wills into that act. With spells, there's usually a few more other things going on. Like I said, you'll light candles, have incense going, and the incense will be... I mean, and look, hey, you know, if you're in a spiritual place like a church or a synagogue or wherever, usually there's candles and incense going.
Yes.
But, you know, we also use the spell casting crystals, objects of the natural world that we feel energetically are aligned with our goals and our intentions.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, you might want to create an image or people love creating those vision boards, which are fantastic. You know, you do almost like a scrapbook, a collage of images of the things you want to achieve and the joy you want to experience, and you put images, stick images onto a board that inspire that. And, you know, vision boards are you often talked about as being a wonderful tool to focus your intention and your creative consciousness. And spells are a bit like that too. You know, we put a whole lot of things together. It's almost like sometimes I use the analogy of cooking, you know, when you, you know, there might be, you want a pumpkin pie. Right now, pumpkin pie doesn't exist, and all you've got in the kitchen is a bag of flour, a bag of salt, some sugar, a pumpkin, you know, and an oven, and a bowl and a spoon. And so you mix all that stuff up together with the intention to make pumpkin pie, and you concoct all that. And then you pop it in the oven and inject it with a big blast of heat, energy, fire, a very powerful catalytic agent of change, as us witches believe, one of the sacred four elements, air, earth, fire, and water. So you whack that in the oven, inject some fire into it, and out comes a pumpkin pie. So that's kind of like how a spell works.
Well, I think it's a beautiful thing. And to me, so I understand the complexity, but I really wanted to hear your thoughts on it.
It's a really good point because, Mark, as you say, you know, some people are funny about spells, and the word spell is inherently, obviously, linked to the word witchcraft, and there's still a misconception out there that extends, you know, beyond the concept of entertainment, that witches are somehow inherently evil or linked with the devil or doing something that's anti-Christ or anti-Christian, and it's just not the case. Modern witchcraft is not like that at all. The word is often misused, you know, but it's, you know, various individuals or groups or organizations will use the term in order to provoke a reaction because it is a provocative term. But when it comes down to boring old everyday witches like me, it's not evil. I don't worship Satan. I'm not out to hurt anyone. And the spells I do are often pretty short because I'm busy and I don't have a lot of time.
Well, let me just clarify.
I'm still going to perfect that. I've got to perfect that spell for making more hours in a day, you know.
Fiona, if anyone says you're just a boring old witch, I would check to see see if they have a pulse. And if they don't have a those are the only person, that's the only kind of person I would think. Now, you're the last person to be described that way. One question I have for you. How, when you cast, let's say, someone wants to cast a love spell on someone. How does that spell? I understand how it can reflect on you because it's you're the person casting it. It says it's an expression of how you feel towards someone. How does it affect the person who is the object of that spell?
Well, you bring up a good point. How does it affect the person who is the object of the spell? And there is a law in witchcraft, which is do what you want, but don't interfere with another person's free will.
Mm-hmm.
So in modern witchcraft, straight away, if you want to use your powers or what you perceive to be your powers, and you want to make someone against their awareness, against their informed knowledge, fall in love with you, then the energy you're working with is inherently very unstable. The intention behind it is very volatile and... two things. You really can't be guaranteed it's going to work. It's like, you know, firing a bullet in a small room. You don't know where it's really going to go. It's going to bounce off the walls and go all over the place. You might hit your target, but you probably won't.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you're going to create a sense of a bewitched love that is not born of true intention. That's not reciprocal in a way that can promote a long-term love affair. And I've seen extraordinary things in my life, and I've seen people achieve amazing things. And is it coincidence? Is it because of the spell? But I've seen people concoct magical love lives, in the sense of where they do a spell and they willfully and deliberately manipulate the emotions and energies of another person. Mm-hmm. And I watch those relationships, and yeah, they, you know, there's been a few of them, not a lot. I mean, honestly, Mark, in all the years, I can count them on one hand, with the ones that have really actually worked, where I've really gone, whoa, less than one hand, less than five in my whole lifetime, and I'm 44 next week, my birthday.
Happy birthday.
You know, thank you, darling. But, you know, in all that time, I've probably seen five instances of the real stuff that's made me go, whoa. And I've also seen that stuff blow up in everyone's face and bring more sadness and more confusion. Inherently, when someone's forcing love, I mean, in extreme situation, I know someone that manipulated a married man to fall in love with her. I also know a married man who I believe magically manipulated a woman to fall in love with him. It can happen. But like I said, it's very rare. And I think the average, you know, the person that picks up a book or, you know, look, let me put it this way. I'll tell you what you're not going to find on my new CD, Magical Life. You are going to find some love spells, but you're not going to find ones like that, because they really, at the end of the day, there's less than 0.1% chance they're going to work. And they're going to, if they do, they're going to screw up your life. So I don't advise them. But what I do give you are spells where you can focus on the feeling, the energy, the concept of having a life partner, having someone that you know, you're more than the sum of your parts with. You know, together you become more than the sum of one. You become one and one. You become a life, you know, an ever-unfolding miracle and of the expression of love, because love, at the end of the day, is, you know, the best reason to be alive, you know?
Yes.
And these spells that I've put on this album help you attract that energy. Now, how it appears, whether it appears in the form of a Brad Pitt lookalike, like it did actually in my case, so that's another story, very happy story. I think we talked about that last time I was on air, but, yeah, I was single for 7 years and helping everyone else with their love lives, and I wrote a book, Bewitch a Man, and there was a love spell in it that I created to attract your soulmate, you know, and your best love you could ever have. And I did do a description. Now, I didn't specify specifically Brad Pitt, because he's married to Angelina Jolie, so I'm interfering with her free will. And God knows we don't want to do that, you know.
No.
She's a tough cookie. I don't want to have her coming after me.
No, I've seen her in the movies with a gun. Yeah, so I wouldn't want
exactly.
her to do that.
Yeah, exactly, guns. And wasn't there knives and blood and all this craziness? Anyway, I'm sure she's a nice woman, but whatever. Yes. But, you know, from entertainment value point of view, she would be a formidable opponent if I was to try and make Brad fall in love with me. Mm-hmm. So I just said someone that looks like him. And I kind of said it like almost jokingly. He's hot. Yeah, sure, why not? Someone that looks like Brad Pitt. Mm-hmm. Someone who's got a great sense of humor, who loves to travel, who makes good money, independent, likes himself, loves himself even, and is ready to love me. And I wrote that spell and put it in that book and went on a tour around the country talking about that, because that was my best spell in the book, I thought. And I talked about it on the Tyra Banks show, I talked about it on Good Morning America, I talked about it at every book launch. And I guess it worked, because he appeared shortly after that. And he really, my partner Jeff really does look like Brad Pitt, and a younger version of him than he is now. And he's a pilot, and he's, you know, a person that brings so much joy to me. Every morning I wake up and feel blessed. And, you know, that's after never having had a relationship like this before, pretty much in my entire life. You know, I'd always been very busy helping everyone else and not myself. And I guess my point being is that spell was not manipulating another's free will. It wasn't deciding that I was, you know, I'm going to meet this person, Jeff, and he's going to fall in love with me. I just put it out there to the universe that this is kind of what I want. This is what I feel ready for. And if it doesn't come, I'm cool with myself too. I can be my own soulmate. Well, life is good, and when you get to that place, then it comes.
Well, first, I completely agree. By the way, I thought in listening to the album, it's full of very positive, loving messages. And if you project that kind of message, that kind of energy, I believe you will attract it. And so
absolutely.
You succeed in that respect very, very well. Also, too, I wasn't trying to set you up with the classic, you know, question, are you bewitching him and dragging him into your clutches beyond his control?
Woo!
No.
That's so funny. No, Mark, it's all right, though. When I was in my band, you know, like so long ago in Death Effects, when I was like, there was an article in Rolling Stone magazine. We were on the cover of Rolling Stone in Australia, and our album was in the top 10. We had a number 2 single at the time, I think it was. And they had this rather intense photograph of me on stage because I was a bit of a wild child. You know, I used to get pretty wild and crazy stage diving. And, you know, at the time I was like, I thought I was like channeling something. Like, I used to see the energy off the top of the crowd coming to me like a giant tsunami. And it would just engulf me. And it would just give me almost superhuman, like, ability to not feel pain, to have so much energy. And, I mean, our live shows were just over the top. I mean, they really were. They were amazing. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was this sense of, I don't know, I mean, I was a practicing witch then. I just wasn't talking about it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I had this relationship with working with energy and comprehending it in the language of magic in this way. So anyway, Rolling Stone wrote this article about me because I was considered one of the most prominent female music artists at the time. And they said, oh, you know, there's rumors that Fiona casts spells on her audience and puts her audience into a trance. And I was like, God, how'd they find that out? You know, and I thought, you know, people find things out. But they actually, I talked to the writer a couple of years later, and she didn't know anything about my spiritual path as a witch. She just presumed that I put this kind of, you know, be kind of dumbstruck by my performance. But, you know, it's funny because the idea of putting people, you know, casting spells or putting people under your spell, I mean, coming from a background of entertainment, I mean, I don't work as a witch. I work as an entertainer. You know, I was a musician, I'm a television presenter, a writer, I'm an actor, I've done film and theatre. And it all comes from a point within myself of wanting to express myself creatively. Now, some people are super talented at one thing. Like, they might be super talented at singing and songwriting or you know, writing or whatever. And I've got to say, honestly, Mark, I don't know if I'm super talented at any one thing, but I'm really good at a lot of stuff. And so my path in life is to do it all, you know, and have fun and share it. And what I will say that I try to encourage with people in my Magical Life CD is to tap into that sense of wonder and that sense of creativity, you know, because you don't get old, you don't have to get older. You can get better and you can love your life more every day. I don't see life as being, you know, great and then it just gets worse and worse and worse. And so many people do, and it's because they give up.
Yeah,
and they don't.
I think people put limits on themselves, you know, like they reach a certain age and they, oh, I have to act like this. And it's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what that means. It's like there's too much. You're still alive. There's too much to do. You got to just keep doing stuff.
And that's the secret to looking young and being young. Like, people look at me and, you know, I mean, of course, if someone goes to the internet now, goes to my website, FionaHorn.com, you know, like they go there and they check me out and they'll go, wow, she looks really young. Well, I mean, I've got a lot of makeup on in that photo on my homepage, but I do look young. Even today, the BBC crew that came to tell me, they said, you're a lot younger than we thought you'd be. And I said, oh, what do you mean?
I'm
40. Well, you know, hey, thank you, but you know what? I don't know if I do. I don't know if I have great skin. I just have skin. I have my normal skin. I grew up in the sun. I don't put on sunscreen. I should. I try to remember sometimes. I skydive every weekend. I jump out of planes and, you know, I'm out in the sun and getting dirt pushed in my face at 180 miles an hour. You know, I break out. I'm like, whatever. But it's your attitude. It's the energy. It's your life, you know. And I think I exude a youthful energy because I really, the one gift, the best thing about getting old is it made me young, because I realized, like, getting old by society standards, you know, getting into my fourth decade, whatever, like not being 20 anymore. I was old and miserable when I was 23, old and miserable, fed up with the world, felt that I knew everything. Nah, you know, oh, it all sucks. You know, I hope I die before I'm 30. You know, that attitude. And as I get older, you realize that you have a, if you continue to consciously live a youthful life, a life where every day is a gift, and like a baby almost, a baby wakes up and it's like, wow, what can I find out about today? You know, oh my gosh, there's a flower, there's my toe, oh my gosh. You know, I mean, maybe not that extreme now, but you can, I consciously find something new, wonderful and beautiful in every day, and it might even be just the opportunity to, you know, plant something in my garden and you know, like a tree that I planted and see it bear fruit. You know, I planted an olive tree a little while ago. It bore some fruit today. Like, oh, my gosh. Like, these simple things that we so often overlook. And a lot of the album has those affirmations those statements of how to find that sense of joie de vivre in every day. And it doesn't, you don't have to be famous, you don't have to be rich, you don't have to, you can, you know, even though health is such a privilege and a gift, a simple, good old good health, you know, or good enough health, you can be sick and still be happy. My friend was diagnosed with cancer, Hodgkin's lymphoma. He just starred in one of the biggest TV series on, like, Spartacus. He starred in Spartacus, and he was diagnosed with cancer after the first series. And he's a beautiful man with two beautiful young children, an amazing wife, just about to start shooting season two of Spartacus, and he's diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he has to go through chemo and everything. And this man just... if he wasn't already the most wonderful, loving, beautiful, amazing man I've had the privilege of ever meeting and calling my friend, he became even more wonderful and loving and amazing and inspirational, because he's, you know, even in the face of that, he stepped up and he said, I'm ready. I'm going to, you know, gonna live my life. Even if I'm sick, I'm going to live in sickness and in health. And he he's well. He recovered. He's totally cured. Yeah. And he's back to work. I think they're filming Spartacus 2 right now in New Zealand.
Yeah, and his attitude of I'm gonna get through it. I mean, that positive energy in his body is probably what healed him.
I agree, and I think people underestimate the power. And you know, and this is the blessing and the curse of living in these modern times. You know, we have the internet, we have so much information available to us, and there's so much stuff out there about thinking positive and creating positive change.
Yeah.
And you know, there's The Secret, which you know created such a huge impact in people's lives. And there's so many, you know, there's my CD, there's so many books, like everyone says, think positive, as we, you know, what we think tends to happen. So think positive, think positive. And in a way, that can be, that's a big burden, because sometimes things go wrong. Things are sometimes meant to go wrong. You know, like I look at nature and as a witch, and my Bible is nature, and I go, okay, volcanoes are necessary. Natural catastrophes are necessary. It's all part of the cycle of life. We live. We die. You know, things happen.
Right,
things aren't
always
easy. So sometimes, you know, and I actually came up with an idea for a book, which I may still write. I came up for it last year, and so many things were going wrong. And even with my formidable gift of thinking positive, I was like, oh, God, whatever, you know. So I came up with this book idea called The Depressed Guru. And it was like, I did everything up until this point. And then everything still went wrong. So, but how do I find a way to keep living? And you know, I was, there was a period where I was, like, pitching TV shows and everyone was letting me down, lying to me and cheating me and stealing from me. And this was only a few months ago even. And I thought, okay, there's a lot of people telling me there's a lot of things I can't do and that I'll never do. And people seem very willing and very ready to make me feel like I can't do these things and I can't have them. And no matter how hard I try, I'll never be good enough. I'll never get it right. And I thought, all right, well, if there's so many things I can't do, what's one thing that I truly, truly cannot do? What is the one thing that I cannot do that I will acknowledge and embrace? And I realized, and this is the depressed guru speaking, I can't give up. I can't give up. I can't give up. So I'm not going to give up. Okay, I can't do things. I can't give up. So I'm going to just keep doing it.
Yeah, you actually, on your CD, you have, I think it's number 3, The Personal Power. You start out saying, only by experiencing life's challenges can you truly find your strengths. Your true strengths will be revealed to you. When things get tough, it's not to show us how weak we are, but how strong we are.
Yeah, it's true. It's really true. Thank you.
Well, one of the things, Fiona, is that I think I've been thinking about your spells and I've been thinking about your point of view. What is different from you now than from, say, the 23-year-old, I think, is that you've raised your consciousness to be more aware of life, you know, and that's one of the things we try to do in the show. We try to have guests that push you to think and to push you to walk through your day with fresh eyes. And I think if anything, maybe one might say about, say, a love spell, is that if you, you know, had someone who was the object of that, I would think that it's perfectly beautiful and okay to have that person just simply become more aware of you.
Exactly. And you know what you would do then? You would do a personal empowerment spell. You would do a love spell on yourself so that you shine a light that guides them to you. And a lot of the times, people, when they think that they, you know, they might love someone, the object of their desire, and for whatever reason they think, oh, that person will never love me, that person will never want anything to do with me, and they go to a dark place, and, you know, for want of a better analogy, they turn their own light off. So, of course, the person's not going to see them. They're in the dark. So a lot of the time, like, I know people that have talked to me about, well, how come, you know, he loves her, or how come, you know, she loves him? He's not even that good looking. I mean, I get some young people asking me questions like this, very simple questions based on exteriors, perceived exteriors of individuals, and it's the inner light. It's the energy. It's all energy. You know, you don't have to be the best looking person. You don't have to fit society's, you know, projected or advertised ideal of what is, you know, the perfect visual partner. If you have a light, an essence within yourself, and it's, you know, commonly there's the term charisma, which is really obvious, but just a light, you know, that will guide, and that's part of one of the spells that I have is that, you know, it's sacred light shine a light on the path that leads my love to me. And it's the candle spell. You can light candles and you do it with intention to shine a light on the path that leads the one that you love to you, or the perfect person to you, the perfect partner.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, I know I'm talking about physical appearances, but I guess it's kind of in my head thinking that when I was younger and I was like 23 and I was so insecure and so hard on myself and so, you know, and I look at young women now and it's even worse. You know, these girls that are...
Well, they live and die with every blemish or everything that isn't quite perfect. And
they're so young, too. Like, you know, I mean, these kids that are, you know, in my work as a counselor with my psychic counseling and relationship counseling, and you've got these young kids who don't have much life experience, having so much... So many expectations forced on them because, you know, kids are powerful consumers now. They have the power of the consumer dollar. So much advertising is geared at them to try and, you know, make them feel inadequate so that they will purchase more. Or, you know, like you've got 13-year-olds asking their mothers for breast augmentation. You know, I mean, that's an extreme example, but it's happening a lot more all the time. And
you know what? We can totally identify with that because, we have a 19-year-old daughter,
mm-hmm,
and
yeah,
when she was, 17? She had girlfriends in high school that were having breast implants, and she came up to us and she said, you know, for my birthday, for my 18th birthday, I want to, you know, plastic surgery. And I'm like, no way.
I mean, and our body hasn't even, like, got, I mean, our body's never finished growing. I mean, they're always evolving and always changing. And look, I don't judge people who choose to do cosmetic surgery. We're very blessed to live in a time where we can avail ourselves of the advances in science and medicine. But you know, whether you're talking about cosmetic surgery or, you know, getting a new job or breaking up with someone and getting a new partner, you want to make decisions from an inspired, empowered place.
Right.
Now, if kids that age generally, when they're asking for breast augmentation or whatever it is, I mean, I know a friend of mine's young 16-year-old son wants liposuction. Liposuction.
Wait, he wants lipo?
Yeah.
Liposuction?
Because he's not... A triangular shape. His shoulders are a little narrow. His hips are a little wider, and you know he's got probably like all of a, you know, I mean, a tiny smidgen of a puff on his hips. Like not even, I wouldn't even call it a puff. If I called it a puff to his face, he'd get a heart attack. He's just got a different shape. He just isn't shaped in that kind of, you know, you know, I mean, Abercrombie and Fitch looking model kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so he's deciding his liposuction. I said to him, come to one of my spin classes. Come and do some exercise with me.
Yeah,
you know, let's do some yoga. Let's do some yoga together. Yeah.
Well,
you know, and plus, most importantly, he needs to exercise his mind.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a true sense of self-appreciation and value. And that's one thing that's just really, you know, in our cultured, advanced, privileged, wealthy, relatively wealthy Western society, We just want the quick fix. Like, we just want to be able to pay someone else to take all our problems away, whether that's someone doing liposuction on a 16-year-old boy, or sticking silicone into the chest of a 17-year-old girl, or, you know, it's just, we want people to take away our perceived problems. And look, I've got to switch it back to, like, when I do my psychic counselling, and, you know, Mark, I'm sure with you too, like, sometimes people want to pay us to make their problems go away, or
yes,
make think that somehow we can change their life, and they don't have to do anything. Let us sit there and give us $50 or whatever it is, or $100 or $150, and we fix it. And let's not lie about it.
No, what we can do is shine a light on something, and we can open a door. The other thing, too, well, that being said, that one of the things that why people make poor choices is that they're not aware of all of the choices that are available to them.
Exactly.
So, you know, and that's something that I'll go back to what you're talking about with the purpose of the CD. It feels like that by being aware of this, the tools and the possibilities and the wonderful energy of universal energy, you give people more choices. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. I sometimes, you know, I say to my clients, listen, right now you can't see the wood for the trees. Let me show you, you know, let me show you the you know, what you need to see. Let's get the big picture going here, because people tend to get tunnel vision and get very fixated on certain very minute parts of the overall picture. And I guess I always look at it as a psychic, like I give them a bigger view. I take them a little bit higher so they can see more of what's out there, and then we can make an educated decision. Well, based on prevailing influences, this is, you know, being that the future is created by the steps we take every day. This is where your steps are taking you to right now. Do you like that? Do you want to change it?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things,
you know?
You've talked about your spiritual life. I have to tell you, I mean, I don't describe myself as Wiccan, but everything that you seem to say feels correct to me, and so. I'm not finding myself saying, oh, that can't be. That isn't the case. I tend to think that we're talking about universal energy. You use a slightly different set of words to describe universal energy than I do. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we're talking minutiae. I mean, very tiny details.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, I think that maybe I was raised Christian, but I certainly don't. I don't know where I would describe myself. I'm probably, you know, to say I'm pagan, to say I believe in Wiccan, I don't know how to describe it exactly, except that I know I believe in universal energy, the power of applying universal energy, the fact that there's a lot of love surrounding it, that if you're willing to tap into it, I believe that, you know, it's very forgiving. What I guess is a good way to talk about, you have one cut on your album called The Language of Magic. Can you tell us a little bit about what people would hear if they were to listen to that?
Well, The Language of Magic, that track's about understanding how spells can work. And I had an analogy in one of my books, which was, you know, imagine you've walked into a room and there's a big dinner table and everyone's enjoying this fabulous dinner and there's lots of spirited conversation, but they're all talking in Italian and you don't speak Italian. You know something's going on. Mm-hmm. You pick up a bueno or something. I don't even know if that's Italian. That might be Spanish. You might pick up bella, ciao, grazie. You know, you're thinking, well, I think that means thank you. Something's going on here. There's all this energy and people are into it and things are happening at the table, but you're only an observer. So it's a little bit like the language of magic. Learn the language of magic and the world becomes a magical place. And that's what that track's about, is understanding the language of magic, understanding that everything in the universe essentially is energy, and there's an inherent power in that energy. There's an inherent, you have, because you're part of this natural world, you have the ability to interact with it and to direct it and channel it and focus it, and sometimes you're going to do it more effectively than other times, and, you know, even nature doesn't always get it right. I mean, and what's right is often quite subjective, and what's wrong is often quite subjective, you know. But at the end of the day, you have this ability to interact with objects of the natural world, with intention, with the universe itself, whether it's the rising and setting of the sun or the ebb and flow of the tidal, you know, the tidal ebbs and flows of the moon cycle. You've got all this stuff going on, and you can interact with it, and you can work with it, and your consciousness, your will, your perception of it is how it manifests in front of you. So something I wrote in one of my earliest books many, many years ago was the world answers according to the questions we ask of it. So it's like when you walk into that room and everyone's speaking Italian. Well, if you want to get involved, you've got to go and learn Italian. So we live in a magical world. If you want to get involved, go and learn the language of magic.
By the way, Barbara...
From that perspective. I mean, as you said, Mark, I don't call myself a Wiccan. I'm spiritual and I'm an eclectic witch. I know a lot about Wicca. I've written a lot of information about it. Like someone who's an atheist may write about Christianity. They can be knowledgeable in the subject matter without practicing it themselves. Mm-hmm. So I don't consider myself at this point in my life, with all the knowledge and experience I have up to this point, a Wiccan. I'm not religious in how I practice my witchcraft. I'm spiritual, and Wicca is a religion.
Well, it's interesting. Everything that you just said, it makes perfect sense to me. So, you know, maybe religion is really just an elaborate group of rules about semantics. To describe God. We're all trying to describe God, universal energy, with our own, vernacular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's based on what part of the world you're from, who your parents were, and all of that. But we're all trying
That's what makes it so beautiful and fantastic. I love to travel, and I love to, go to different cultures, and especially cultures where English is not spoken or is not the first language, and where, society is structured differently, and all the things we take for granted aren't there. And, there's a different rhythm to life in those kind of environments that, profoundly spiritual and rewarding. But I know they're looking at me and thinking I'm the coolest girl in the world because I've got an iPhone and, I speak differently and I've got white skin and blonde hair and I'm different and interesting. And I'm looking at them thinking, oh, my gosh, you're so different and interesting.
Fiona, are there, certain cultures that you're drawn to that you would like to learn or study more about?
Well, it's interesting to say learn and study. I mean, I once used to think, I'd like to go into a formal environment of schooling, like go back to university or go back to school. But I don't think the answer for me personally lies in going into an institution of teaching or learning. I'd rather just go to the place and see it with my own eyes and experience it on my own terms, school of life. And I've been an avid traveller all my life. When I was 17, I took myself off to Micronesia to scuba dive the wrecks of Truk Lagoon. And, I've done a number of trips to Vanuatu and stayed with a tribe of people there who live pretty much as close to the Stone Age as you're going to get, except unless you go to the remote forests of Papua New Guinea. I mean, I love... life being stripped back, for us, us very, I can't think of the word, but us very, I'm getting terms like flatulent, that's not the right word, I just mean us people from the Western society that are just so pampered, we're so pampered, I don't know where flatulence comes into it, maybe we excess, we're creatures of excess.
Hey, Fiona, if you need to take a break and get away from the phone for a minute, that's fine. You don't have to make up stuff,
No. I'm totally fine. Don't worry. You wouldn't know if I took care of it. It's all good.
Are you saying we're full of hot air?
Western society is like so pampered and so excessive. And when you go to these more remote places in the world that don't have all the bells and whistles that we have, you realize that the last thing you want is bells and whistles. But, a day in that environment away from clocks and phones and radios and stuff can feel like forever. And you realize that time is an illusion, an absolute, utter illusion. A great illusion. It's convenient. It helps us organize our day. I mean, I said at the start of our chat tonight, I wish I had a spell to create more, hours in a day. But I was kind of saying that with my tongue in my cheek. I know the spell for creating more hours in the day, to get the hell out of LA and go somewhere where there's no clocks, no nothing, it's just the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun, and maybe for a little while I might watch the moon and then I'll fall asleep.
one thing, when I meditate, I find that I pay a lot less attention to the clocks and the things I have to do. I'm very much in the moment.
In the moment, in the infinite moment, yeah.
And that's one. I mean, you have a guided meditation for leaving that, for leaving all this behind. So even if you are in New York or L.A. or Sydney or London or some other big, you know, city, you can find that time away by basically saying, okay, I'm going to not pay attention to it for a little bit. I'm going to pay attention to my breath. I'm going to pay attention to a candle. I'm going to pay attention to perhaps Fiona's guided meditation.
I'm going to tell you something funny, Mark, like in support of what you're saying is that I was really, you know, because it's funny, us people that talk about enlightened lives and enlightened choices or, you know, alternative spiritual practices or whatever, like how often do we take our own advice? I mean, I still get sucked into the maelstrom. I still go down through the wormhole, you know, like, and the other day I was really stressing out. I think I actually put it on my Facebook page. I was stressing out because I do cram a lot into every day as far as because of my work and everything. And someone said, gosh, Fiona, you really need to chill out. You should listen to your own CD. And I was like, oh. And so I did. I did, guys. I listened to my own CD. And guess what? It really helped me chill out. And it helped me get perspective on some things that were going on. It was just like that I really had just got so up my own backside about. I was like, it gave me clarity. And it was, I just took a moment to just sit in a room and listen to my own CD. And it helped.
Well, Fiona, just because... Just because you're a very smart lady and you've figured out a few things, this is something that has to constantly be monitored. It's not being aware of these things. It's easy to forget them. I always feel like, say, with your psychic ability and mine, that it's something I have to attend to. It's something. It's a state of consciousness that's very much tied to it. And if I don't pay attention to it, I can forget a little bit. It's almost like being blessed with a wonderful voice. If you don't nurture it, if you don't take care of it, if you don't warm it up, you're not going to be able to hit the same notes.
Exactly. That's a really good analogy. It's true because it's the times that I've been, it's funny, like, as I'm sure you know, Mark, you can't force it. You've got to get out of your own way and let that ability just exist. And at the same time, you've got to create a supportive environment for it. And I know that if I try to do interpretive or intuitive work when I'm not in it, I mean, I'm choosing my words carefully because I got to be honest, sometimes I've been incredibly psychic when I've been very sad and I've suffered great loss. So sometimes when my ego, when my grief or my sense of self is so gone, I become like this vessel and everything comes through me. It's like I'm just this empty shell. And, you know, it's almost like I'm speaking in tongues or something, the stuff that can come out of me. But at the same time, on an everyday kind of level, if I'm, you know, like say today, I'm at the middle of my crazy, whacked out, busy day. I did 7 readings today. I helped 7 people today. And they were good readings. But I had to, in the sense that I was hitting the mark. But I got to be honest, a couple in the morning, I felt a bit off. And I was blessed that these were clients of mine that don't only come to me for psychic guidance but for common sense guidance, for practical advice and for psychological insight. And I was able to, when I didn't just quite feel like I was ready to get my bumps, I guess to get the things I needed to let them know, I was able to address some other issues with them. And then the other half of my brain is like consciously kind of slowing down and getting, I don't really know how to describe it properly with words, but just getting to that place where I can get out of my own way and let the stuff come through that needed to come through. So it is a discipline. It is like a muscle you need to exercise and at the same time rest and take care of, you know?
Well, I read this thing you had mentioned about feeling a bit empty, but a Taoist saying, and I'm going to paraphrase, that a jug's emptiness is what makes it useful. And so that's what I find with meditation. It allows me to kind of quiet all the other things, kind of empty out my head of the daily tasks that you have to do, the places you have to go, the calls you have to make. If you can set that aside, that emptiness becomes very, very useful.
I love that analogy. That's beautiful, yeah.
Well, I wish I could take credit for it. I am just if I
You're just the messenger.
Yes. That's all I am, but it's a useful thing. And you know, and it's a nice reminder. And well, you've been a wonderful messenger too with this CD.
Thank you.
Well, I wanted, we have a few more minutes left with you. I wanted to, one thing that's coming up real soon, and I know that while you may not be a religious Wiccan, I guess we're coming up on the summer solstice.
Next week. It's like June 22nd, tipping into the 23rd. It's a little different every year for all the obvious astronomical reasons. But, yeah, I think it's 22nd tipping into 23rd this year. And then my birthday's on the 24th.
Well, so again, happy birthday. You're milking the happy birthday thing here, young... No, I'm kidding.
I'm a child of the solstice. Well, you know what the thing is? I'm actually... My birthday I share with John the Baptist, and I told my girlfriend I want a head on a plate cake for my birthday. Is that the card?
Oh, my God.
Is that evil? Barbara, is that evil? Am I being an evil witch? I wonder.
Well, as long as you're not asking for it to be made with a real human head.
No, I want a chocolate one.
Okay. I'm going back to my original point.
I want a chocolate head on a plate cake, please.
Again, I don't care what color the skin is beneath. As long as there's no real human head, because then I'm afraid that would probably make you a very kind of dark Wiccan person. Yes, you heard it here, folks. You know, Fiona's looking. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, he wants a head on a plate cake for
a head on a plate cake, and she's not too fussy about the details and doesn't want to know.
As long as it's chocolate.
Okay. Well, we'll see what we can do about that. Well. What advice, if you wanted to encourage someone to make the most of this time, how would you encourage them to make the most of this experience of the solstice? Is there any advice you could provide?
Well, the summer solstice is the longest day of the year, and isn't it weird? Like we, in an astronomical sense, like isn't it weird that we haven't really even, you know, where I am in Los Angeles, where we are right now in LA, yes. But at this in part of the Northern Hemisphere, we haven't even hit our hottest day when we feel that because of daylight saving, it's going to be the longest day. But the longest day is the summer solstice, and after that, the days will slowly but surely get a little bit shorter, a little bit shorter, a little bit shorter as we head into the winter solstice 6 months later. And the summer solstice, what I think is really beautiful about it, and what I enjoy about it, and when I was more traditionally Wiccan, we would sit up and, in the middle of the day, we would have these, you know, safely, of course, we would have fires or light candles. We would really just get that fire energy, that solar sun energy to a peak, and it's a wonderful time to let go, like let the sun release any energy, let the burning, the fire energy of the sun release any energy that isn't serving us, and then draw on the energy that's out there to fuel and propel our greatest joys, happiness, dreams, aspirations into the next part of the year. You know, it's kind of like the halfway mark for the year. And it's a really beautiful time of the year to just honor the light, you know, just mm-hmm. to honor the light and honor the light that is. And because, you know, but in the opposite sense, the dark, the winter solstice, the longest night, is a wonderful time to honor the dark and the fact that, you know, we need to sometimes retreat. We need to sometimes have things taken away. We need to sometimes let things die in order to be born again. And, but, you know, when the sun's at its peak, it's all about life. It's about partying. It's about, you know, getting out there. It's having just a celebration of the blessing of the light.
And is it this the time, too, that if you wanted to make an intention, you wanted to cast a spell? Is this the best, a very good time? And why?
Well, the nice thing about this particular summer solstice as we head into it is we're going to be approaching the full moon. I mean, we're in the new moon now, and I'm pretty sure the full moon will be coming. I don't have my calendar right in front of me, but just by looking outside last night, the new moon was, I think, in about its third or fourth day, and third or fourth night. So by next week, by the solstice, the moon will be starting to peak to full. So you're working with this ascending lunar energy and this maximal solar energy. It's like a really powerful time to tap into those celestial energies and allow them to fuel your goals and your intentions.
Well, that's good to know because Barb and I have a couple that we're working on. And so actually, my sister wanted us to go up and do a little winter summer solstice ceremony up in the hills by us in Malibu. So,
oh, you should. That would be beautiful. That would be gorgeous. And, you know, I really recommend people do it at the peak of the day, like at the noonday sun, under the noonday sun, and enjoy that energy of the sun at its peak. But, you know, being in the hills in Malibu, you have the beautiful energy of the ocean and the sun over the ocean. And, you know, I'm sure around that time you'll have the sun setting as the moon is rising, and it'll be a beautiful time to do a ritual of balance and harmony, and also a ritual of being more than the sum of your parts, like that everything that we have to offer plus that extra something.
Well, there's this one tree that it just seems to have started to collect a lot of people that come to it. It's a very large oak tree, and it's in a certain place in the hills, and people have started to gravitate towards it with a Wiccan intent. And it's a large, beautiful tree. I mean, you see it has this. It's just
oak tree is one of the 12, one of the sacred trees of the Celtic order. So it's oak is a very powerful tree. It's one of the 12 sacred trees. So.
Well, it's
not
been found.
People are drawn to it, yeah.
So we're going to do Father's Day. I mean, it's...
how gorgeous, yeah.
So we'll do Father's Day with my family, and then we're going to go up and sacrifice children. No, I'm kidding. I'm making that part up.
I thought you were going to have your Father's Day party under the tree. That'd be nice.
Well, yeah, there won't be any sacrifice of children. That seems to be a conflict.
Can I have one of the heads for my cake?
I'm sure if there's any left over. Oh my gosh! I'm sure.
Oh,
that...
Mark! All right, you're gonna have to, Mark and Barbara. You're gonna have to spend the next hour at least debunking everything we just said in the last 30 seconds. All right.
Okay. Cool. There will be no heads, and we won't be.
Yeah. No heads. No children.
While I'm at it, please do not mail any human heads to Fiona. Okay.
No, I don't need them. No, not at all.
You've heard it here. It's on tape. No heads to Fiona. I don't want her to get any square-looking FedEx boxes with ice. Okay?
No, nothing like that.
Nothing.
No,
that would be
definitely
wrong.
Not.
That'd be wrong.
That would
in a
be
lot
so
of ways.
Wrong. So very wrong. Unless it was Brad Pitt's head. Unless it wasn't Gwyneth Paltrow's head and it was Brad's head in that FedEx box. That'd be cool. Well, not really. I mean, no, that'd be dreadful.
You know, I think he's going to need that head later. I really think he may want it.
Yeah, he probably will. And his children will need it, too. Yeah, and so will Angelina.
And I'm going to guess he's grown attached to it. Wah, wah, wah. I'm sorry.
Wah.
I couldn't.
Oh, that's a good one, Mark.
Wah. Oh, that's the oldest one. That's the oldest cannibal joke in the book, I'm afraid.
So. I love it. I love silly humor. It's great.
Well, you've come to the right place, let me tell you. Well, Fiona, so where can people find you, young lady, on your still 43?
Well, I'm still 43. Well, definitely my website, fionahorne.com, F-I-O-N-A-H-O-R-N-E, E like Echo, .com. And then also, if you'd like to buy a copy of my new CD, Magical Life, Guide to Meditation and Spell for Positive Change, you can get that easily through my website, through fionahorne.com. When you go to the website, there's an online store. It clicks up straight away, so you can just click on it, and the CD is available there. So is my Witch Web solo magically inspired album, and a number of my books are available for purchase through the online store. Or you can just go to good old iTunes and download it. Just type in my name and it'll come up. But, yeah, it was a real privilege to record this album and have the opportunity to put this information to music and to release it out on the CD and out into the downloadable world. So, and I'm thrilled, and it was a real privilege to be on the show with you guys again. So lovely to chat with you.
Well, Fiona, we always have fun.
Thank you so much.
We do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you.
I was telling Mark, you have like years beyond your years of knowledge of things, and you must be an old soul because you have so many interesting perspectives on things.
Thank you. I guess, you know, I maybe I am. I sometimes you wonder, don't you, of like where everything comes from, but I think I have to say, if I can say this clearly, I'm not really getting to my point, but what I guess I mean is at this age, at this linear age of approaching my 44th year, I still feel like life is an ever-unfolding miracle. Like, for all its beauty and blessings and all its problems and suffering and for all its liberation and for all its fear, it's just life is it. And I guess having knowledge, having the ability to communicate my passion for life, having the ability, as you know, as Mark does, to sort of see beyond the veils, to look beyond the veils of Maya and see other stuff, it's such a privilege, and I love sharing it with other people. And that's, you know, if I can in any way enhance someone else's life, I'm not here to be a martyr. I used to think I was, but I'm not anymore. I'm here to live the joy and experience the joy too. But if I can help facilitate it, it's just the best feeling. It's the reason to have all the knowledge in the first place, you know, to share it.
And if someone did want a reading, the simplest, quickest way to get a hold of you again?
Probably teen.com. They can go to my website, fionahorn.com, and there's a link there to Teen. I do the readings through the online environment of Teen, K-E-E-N. When I establish relationships with clients, I also offer private readings. But Teen is a really great place to connect initially. And I certainly, you know, it's a privilege that a lot of people from around the world can connect with me through Teen.com.
Well, Fiona, it's been a real pleasure. And I'm glad.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Barbara.
I'm glad we could laugh about a few things. And I do look forward. All of those anatomical things aside that you would like on your cake. But we won't, I don't even want to say it because
if people are going to think it's something else, we're just talking about a head.
Okay, yeah. Okay,
so it's not
well,
that bad.
Okay, Fiona doesn't want any body parts on her cake, okay? Let's just say we're putting that to rest, okay? Fiona, you're a lot of fun, and I appreciate your being with us.
All right, thank you, guys. Thank you so much for tonight. I'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, yes, you will. Take care. Good night.
Thank you. Good night. Bye.
Well, I have to tell you guys, I had a lot of fun with Fiona. And I also would like to say that I am not in favor of sacrificing children on Father's Day. I just think it's wrong. And we're going to do a special show just about that. I'm hoping that the police do not knock on the door because we have no interest in doing that. We love children as long as they're prepared properly. Oh, that's a joke from W.C. Fields. I'm very sorry.
Very funny. I just wanted to tell everyone the name of Fiona's new CD out is Magical Life, Guided Meditations and Spells for Positive Change. And it's got some really good, just, you know, kind of sit back and listen to the music. Very, very nice, quiet music. And she has some very nice things to say about, you know, love life and just personal fulfillment and, you know, just really...
How to work with universal energy.
How to work with universal energy.
That's
and
another way to say it. How to work with God, how to pray to God, how to explore different things about yourself. I mean, I think that it's something I've been thinking about lately is I believe very much in prayer and asking for what you want, but I also believe in being quiet and listening for what God and the universe has to tell you. I mean, I sometimes think that I really don't know what I want, and very often I don't, and I have an idea of it. But when I listen, I get much better, clearer ideas about that, and that's why it's really important to be quiet. Sometimes if you really want God to contact you, to speak with you, to be working on your behalf, it's best to hear what he, she has to say. Well, we're going to be, we've still got plenty of time left tonight, and I'm glad that you're going to be with us. We're going to be speaking to good friends of ours, Joe and Rebecca Mendoza. Next, we're really lucky to have, they're great friends, and we're meeting so many cool and interesting people in the community. People like Fiona, who was introduced to, actually, I met Fiona through my manager, Mary. Mary is a terrific friend, and well, I think we've got Joe on the line. Say, would this be Joe and Rebecca Mendoza, or Joe or Rebecca Mendoza?
This is Joe and Rebecca Mendoza from 3 AM Paranormal.
Hey, Barb, we got a twofer.
We got a twofer.
We got a twofer.
How's everybody doing?
It's a Thursday twofer. Hey, Barbara, how you doing?
We're doing great, you guys.
Well, we know you guys had a busy day. We were talking a little bit about you. Before we go any further, I want to make sure everyone knows that we're speaking to Joe and Rebecca Mendoza of 3 a.m. Paranormal, based, I guess, somewhere a little south of Los Angeles. Would it be Long Beach area?
It would be Long Beach, yes.
Okay, great. Well,
but we claim Long Beach, and we'll claim Los Angeles, too.
Lakewood, too.
If it's if it's out of California, we just claim Los Angeles, and if it's in California, we claim Long Beach.
Well, you guys kind of sound like the imperialist forces of 3 a.m. Paranormal.
That's right.
A little bit of a Star Wars reference there for all of you slightly older people or people with access to a DVD player.
I know. I think that was a little too literal, but anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where that came from. I should just kind of like shut my yap a little bit on that. Shut my Star Wars talking yap here. So let's talk about you guys. And so you were out at a place. Do you want to tell us where you were out investigating with a lot of people today? Where were you guys?
We were actually we returned to Linda Vista Hospital in Los Angeles. Or actually, it would be Boyle Heights, I guess, more specific.
East Los Angeles, then. That would be
That's right. And some people might know the place through Ghost Adventures. They did an episode there at Linda Vista Hospital. And we actually have been going there for a while. And we actually got to return today. And we got to try something that we haven't done but been wanting to do for a while, is to do an investigation there during the daylight hours.
And the reason is
because we've noticed in the many times that we've gone there so far, the activity seems to be happening more earlier in the evening rather than later in the evening. And when we actually got to go there to film with the guys from Ghost Adventures, we were there during the day, and while we were there doing our interview, we actually were getting different things going on, so we wanted to actually get in there and try to do it. So we were asked to come down, and there were some other friends shooting some video there, and the place is big enough so we could stay out of their way but still do an investigation. And basically that's what ended up happening, is they, you know, did the majority of the stuff on their own, and we basically just, me and Becky ran around and did our own investigations.
Well, so today, this is also, too, for everyone listening, this is a place that I've been out with Joe and Rebecca to before, and we did find it to be a very interesting place. We had some, we made some recordings. Remember there was that box that you had used, what is it? It's one that basically rolls through the AM. Wait, it scans, and then it picks out words. What is that called again?
Now, what we were using at that time, we have two devices. That was actually a radio, what they call a Radio Shack, Hack Shack. And what it is it's a modified radio that scans to the AM, FM, and shortwave bands without stopping, and just a big loop, if you could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
As it goes through, once in a while, what will happen is you'll ask questions, and the idea is that the spirits are able to manipulate the audio bits that they can, or actually impress their own spoken word into the different frequencies.
Well, we had some good reactions when we went out with you last time. What did you guys experience today?
Well, just really quick to go back, and that form of communication is called ITC. And today we took that same device, but we also took our actual Frank's box, and that's what that device is basically trying to copy, is a Frank's box. These are boxes that are made by Frank Sumption that are made basically to do that exact same thing I described.
Mm-hmm.
And today we took out both boxes, and we went down there. We actually had a mission today, Mark.
You did. What was that mission, Joe?
Yeah. That mission that we had today was to go out and contact a doctor that we've actually, Becky has had quite a few experiences on ITC with, and I've actually heard come through on ITC back the very first time that I was there. We actually, our mission was to go out there and do an ITC session and see if we could actually directly contact a person that or an entity that we believe that actually was a person at one time and that actually did work in the hospital.
Huh. I didn't realize that there was someone, you know, when I was there with you, I saw someone, a medical professional. I thought he might have been, I didn't know, I kept hearing like maybe an intern, but if he was a doctor, that's not that different. An intern, some interns can be doctors or more or less. So that's interesting.
Well, you know, I believe that there's many different entities, I guess, or spirits that that reside in that hospital. So I wouldn't be surprised if there were interns, doctors, and patients, and you know, other things also. So
well, I'm not trying.
There's a pretty good mix.
Oh, and I wouldn't dispute. I mean, just because I happen to bump into one experience, one consciousness. One being doesn't take away in any way, shape, or form, because I know Becky can be very sensitive too. So, how did the mission go? Was it mission accomplished? Did you get something that you feel confident about? Can you talk about it?
Well, I have to tell you that we're both very excited about the investigation, and we're both very happy with the results. We were able to make contact, and we actually did catch it on video and audio, and it was a very successful experiment, and we got some information, and we're going to be working on that information, researching to try to actually pinpoint that information that we got to an actual person that was worked there in the hospital.
Well, that's pretty darn exciting, Joe, Rebecca. That sounds really cool. I mean, that's kind of hard to walk out of there and not be like a foot off the ground with that kind of a contact.
Well, we were like, you know, it's interesting, but, you know, I think it has a lot to do, and I've noticed this before, with the power of intention. You know, if you go out in an investigation, your mood has everything to do with the investigation, your intention, mm-hmm. The way you feel, the way everything about, you know, at the time, just prior to and during the investigation, have a lot to do with what the results usually are. Now, some people could argue, well, that kind of helps prove the theory of the thought forms, mm-hmm. that we're actually creating the hauntings, and the hauntings don't actually exist, but that's just, you know, one idea that could be. But I believe that it's just the power of intention and what, you know, if you want to go do something, kind of like that verse that says, if you knock on the door, it'll be opened.
Well, Joe, so can we talk about this theory about thought forms? So basically people think that, or some people would speculate that because you think about the fact that you want to speak to a doctor will appear in terms of your evidence through an EVP or a video. That's what the speculation is on that?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't catch a full apparition. I'm sorry if I mistook you. No, we didn't catch a full apparition, but we were actually filming the EVP session, and we did capture the EVP session on, I'm sorry, the EVP, the ITC session on video.
We haven't gone over EVPs yet.
Yeah,
so.
We actually haven't gone over the audio part. I mean, we know that the audio's there, and we've heard it.
Mm-hmm.
But we just haven't gone over like the standalone audio section of it. But getting to your question about thought forms, it's one of the theories that are out there and that you'll probably be hearing a lot about from paranormal investigators is the idea that you know, is a place really haunted, or is it only haunted when you go? Do you understand?
Yes.
Like if there's a house, let's say, in a neighborhood, and it's on the corner, and it's kind of beat up, and kids start saying that it's haunted, and people start giving that a lot of energy, we kind of go back to the whole idea of the power of intention. We're giving that a lot of energy to a place, or thinking about a place in a certain way, can actually, they believe, in theory, sometimes actually manifest exactly what it is that you're thinking about or trying to create.
Well, I understand that. I would struggle with that because I do believe that. I mean, I know that some spirit can, you know, mislead you, and misrepresent itself, and maybe that's possible. You know what you're talking
sure.
about.
And yeah, you know, and I would go as far as to say that if I was to believe that this actually is, actually works the way that it's described in theory, I think that's a possibility that it could happen a small percentage of the time, but I don't think that it's necessarily all of the time at all. In other words, like, I believe that it probably could happen maybe 10, 15, I'm just using those numbers off the top of my head,
mm-hmm.
percent of the time, and at other times it could be other entities that you're actually dealing with, whether it's human spirits or whatever it is.
Well, it's hard to know how many, in my experience, the large majority, I felt like could be identified as a person who existed in the place. I mean, when I get names, you know what I would say too, is that I've gotten names connected to a place without having any impressions at all. That's maybe where the value of a psychic might come in. Now, if you go in there thinking, you go to Mark Twain's house, for example, we just saw a show on Mark Twain, and you say, and you're going to see Mark Twain's ghost, and dagnabbit, you expect to see him there, and then you hear something, it might be, maybe it's in your mind that, okay, it's very likely that it's Mark Twain, so I will most likely be hearing from Mark Twain. But I just don't, I mean, that's why it's helpful that if you do go in, I mean, it's great that part of your team is very, very aware of what you're experiencing and seeing. But it's also really important, if you do work with the psychic, to keep them from having any preconceptions.
Right. And we've seen that happen many times, especially, with you. You've gone in and we've given you no information and you've been able to hit things. Like I said, it's just a theory, but to be a good researcher, I think that we have to look at and at least consider all the different theories. I mean, there's a lot of other different theories of what we could be dealing with too. Like you said, mentioned trickster spirits or somebody, just a human spirit impersonating, or so on and so on.
I really don't want anybody to get the idea that we're going in there with preconceptions of we're going to get this specific person. No, we are open-minded and clear-minded normally when we walk into an investigation, with no preconceived notion that we're going to get a certain or a specific presence there.
I wasn't trying to imply that. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say that I've been out with you guys, everyone who's listening. Joe and Becky are very professional, and I wasn't trying to imply that at all, that you would do that.
Hold on, Mark. We're having a little trouble hearing you.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, if Becky, I don't mean to imply that you do. Oh, well, Joe and Becky will be back momentarily, hopefully. For what it's worth, guy, everyone who's listening, we'll bring them back for a little bit longer. And then I think, are we going to do a reading later, Barbara?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to leave time for a friend of ours of the show is going to be calling in for a reading. I'll be very glad to do that. I hope we can get Joe and Becky to call back, and there is Joe right now. Hello. Oh, they were there, and they're gone. Let's see. Hopefully they can try one more time. Joe, Becky, give us another call back. What I was saying is that these guys are really professional and that I wouldn't imply at all that they would be doing anything vaguely like kind of like trying to spoil the pot. In fact, when I'm with them, they're downright cryptic. So I mean, they and that's good. That's what I need. That's what I would prefer. But they've been very thorough. We'll hopefully have them come back. And I'm gonna take this call. Barbara, why don't you?
Where is it?
I've got it right here. Hello, guys.
Oh, Mark's taking a call on his cell phone.
Becky on the cell phone.
Oh.
Are we going to have you guys back, or?
Oops.
Sure. Why don't you try calling us back one more time? We can have you back for
a few
more minutes.
Oh, did you get knocked off?
They got knocked off, but give us a try back on the line for the show, and I'm going to hop off the cell. All right? All right, bye.
Okay. I guess we've been having some difficulty with the server tonight. Yeah, but I believe we're still on. We are. We're still on.
I'm very glad Barb grabbed that because I figured that we were having a
little... Okay, let's try it again. Hello? Hello.
Hey.
Hey, you're not going to try to get away from us again, are you?
No. No, what happened? We had an issue with our headphones, and then the phone lost contact, so sorry about that.
Oh, it's okay. Well, I jumped in, and I was just talking a little bit about how, Becky was making the point of not going in with any preconceptions, and while you guys were off the air, I was making that abundantly clear that, and the investigations we've done with you guys, that you've been very good at going in with an open mind, and so...
Oh, sure. And usually that's the way we do it, but and we will continue to do that. But this particular time, we decided that we were going to try this. And we were very flexible. We go in and we try a lot of different things and experiment with a lot of different theories and stuff. So I feel that it's really going to be the only way that we make any strides.
Well, one thing, you guys have been there before, so, I do think that you can develop relationships with spirits in a place, and in fact that you can, that working relationship can be very beneficial to understanding them, to learning more about the experience, and going out with you guys, you've done that before, and so the idea that you would both, after repeated visits, have a pretty good idea of who you're dealing with, that's also fair and reasonable.
Sure, yeah, and, like you said, we've been there a few times already, so we're basically at the point to where we pretty much know that the place has spirits in it, and now we're going in and just trying different things and different experiments, Linda Vista is going to be one of those places where, as long as we are able to have access, we'll go, and it's going to be one of those cases that never actually close. It'll just continue on. Hopefully for a while to go.
Well, I'm not sure if I'll be able to go with you guys next week. Haven't heard back from anybody yet, but regardless of what happens, I know that you'll have a good experience there and be able to talk about it. So time will tell about that. But I'm looking forward to hearing and seeing you. Can you guys talk about what you're going to be doing next week?
I think so. We're going to be doing a show called My Ghost Stories, and it's going to be covering. In fact, it's going to be covering the story of the contacts that we have had with the doctor.
Well, that is really cool. So I would say that we've had other investigators on who have talked about how they've gone to the same place on numerous occasions, and certainly Barbara and I have, say, been to the Queen Mary perhaps more than any other place. And I'd like to think that we're very familiar. I tend to think that we're dealing with intelligent entities, intelligent consciousness in terms of spirit. And so for them to perhaps remember us, remember some of us, is certainly reasonable. So for you guys to go back to Linda Vista Hospital on numerous occasions, make contact with the same spirit being, is, and that's being would then remember you, makes perfect sense. I mean, we saw something like that at a other hospital where we met your friend and mine, Mr. Pipes.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Pipes. I got to, I have to remember to send you a video link. There's a video that you need to see. Actually, I believe I have the audio.
Yeah, you do.
I have the audio up on our webpage. And if you go to 3amparanormal.com, mm-hmm. We have a new webpage up, by the way.
It looks great, by the way.
It's great.
Thank you. And if you go to the EVP page, that's the only page I still haven't finished, but you can actually hear the EVPs on there. And if you search around, you'll hear our friend Pipes. And you'll hear him actually end shaving a haircut almost in perfect time for me and a bunch of guests that were there that one particular night. But I would love for you to hear that because I know that we did have some contact with that entity.
Well, do you want to tell that? I mean, we're going to have to we have someone calling in a little bit. But I wanted to. Why don't we finish on that and let people know where to find you again? But can you tell the story about when we were with you that night and you said, hey, I think they know we're here.
Yeah, well, there's this, Actually, the name doesn't come from me, and the idea of this entity doesn't come from me. I actually, while doing some research on a certain place, we actually got the name, or actually read a small story about some workers that actually gave him the name of Pipes. And they gave him this name because he has a tendency of what sounds like banging on pipes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it seems, it sounds kind of silly, but there seems to be some sort of, to me anyway, intelligence to this clanging or banging, whichever you like. He's demonstrated it quite a few times where, in the EVP page, I actually have a little clip, but it's not labeled, so you'd have to go do the different ones to find it. And you'll actually hear, what I do is I go in there and I'll begin shaving a haircut and leave out the two taps at the end, and he will come in, and he's done it on more than one occasion, and he'll actually end it. And in that video, or in that little sound clip too, you'll hear him going off and doing his bangs. And I ask him two or three times to please just stop if it's him. And then finally he just stops completely dead. And then I ask him to, the next question is I ask him to please finish the shaving the haircut, and he does finish it.
And that, for those of you who don't know, shaving the haircut is dun 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 dun. Is it like, how does it go? Dun 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 dun.
That's
dun,
it.
Dun dun.
That's right.
Shave and a haircut, two bits.
Well, that's right.
Well, when you and I did it, it blew my mind, kind of. I mean, I've told a number of people about that. It's almost like...
Yeah, you know... Go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say, you know, you're not sure if spirit is aware or they're going to hang back and see what you're like. Well, this spirit being that we're going to talk about, there was very little holding back. In fact, he had good timing. If he was a vaudeville performer, I'd say he was pretty good.
And I've actually heard him, I've asked him quite a few times to do that in front of people that will, let's say, go there and aren't usually there. So I'll ask him to do it for him, and he'll do it. And it's really a trip. And I'm sure, you know, there are other investigators that have gone, and you know they'll say like, oh no, it's just this or that. And but to me, the timing to the questions or to the response of the tappings and stuff, the mathematical probabilities are just too far out there for me to believe that it's just coincidence. We've also had quite a few investigators go out there, and they're just dumbfounded,
mm-hmm.
completely dumbfounded by the responses that I'll get. I mean. I'll ask him sometimes to do a drum solo, and he'll just start going off. It won't actually be like a perfect, you know, let's say solo or like a jazz drummer, but it'll be, you can hear that there's some sort of rhythm to his I guess piece or whatever he's working on.
Well,
but
yeah,
it's very interesting at the very least.
Well, you know, it speaks to intelligence also too. I mean. This is not, you know, spirits on the other side are not all being, all powerful, all knowing. You've managed to come in contact with a being. I don't want to say entity because that sounds kind of bad and cryptic, you know. But I mean, you've contacted a consciousness, a being on the other side that is apparently very comfortable with communicating through taps, for whatever ability. I mean, where you and I are comfortable speaking, that. Being is comfortable through making taps on the pipes, and it's become pretty
right.
good at it. And so it doesn't mean that it's going to give us a symphony orchestra that's, you know, you know, in taps. It's going to, but it's going to make itself known, and I think that's pretty impressive.
Now, I will tell you, you know, that doesn't happen every single time, and there's times where I go in there and I, you know, it seems like this is what happens. It's a pattern almost. When we walk in, he'll be kind of very quiet until I start speaking. And when I start speaking, he'll have a tendency to start his banging. Basically, what he'll do is he'll do it a lot of the times right over us.
Follow us.
So he'll follow us to the building. And to different parts of the building, he'll actually follow. And you know, it's very interesting to say the least.
Interesting piece that you're seeing.
So sorry, but it's very interesting.
Well, I'm very glad that you guys have been available to tell us more. And were there any other one thing I know that sometimes when you have too many people around, it gets a little bit difficult to hear or to get a nice pristine reading. Were you able to pick up? I mean, was it a good sized group? Did other people pick up things that you found interesting?
Are you talking about in today's investigation?
Yes.
Oh, actually, like I said, it ended up being mostly just me and Becky. There were quite a few other investigators there, but they were in other parts of the building.
Okay.
But we were filming and recording audio at the same time. So we were, you know, covering ourselves. At the very end, for the last 40 minutes, we did all get together and we tried the ITC session and we tried an EVP session.
Wow. Well, Joe, where can we look forward to seeing and hearing? I mean, when you get that put together, can you share that with us on the show?
Oh, of course. And, you know, we're very much into sharing just about everything that we do and the experiences that we have. That's really a big thing for us. If you go to our page, 3amparanormal.com, you can look around the different pages, photographs, EVPs. There's a video page, or you can hit any of the links. The Facebook link will take you to our Facebook. YouTube will take you to all our videos, and so on. Twitter and all that other stuff. A meetup group, if you'd like to join our meetup, and we're trying to get out at least once a month and do meetups in interesting haunted places in Southern California. And we love it when everybody comes down. We like to share some information, let some beginners actually, or newbies or whatever, people that are investigating for the first time, come out and work with seasoned investigators, not only from our team, but from quite a few different teams in Southern California. So it's a good time to have by all. And if you go to the page, you'll get information there, and any of the links will give you information too.
Well, I'm looking forward to our investigation in Northern California the weekend after Father's Day. So
That's right.
Coming up soon.
And can we actually say anything about that or not?
What's that?
Well,
I don't think so, right?
I'm not sure. That's the question. It's this place, see, that's you know what it is that they only allow investigations that are being taped for a show. And so it's not open to the public, and if we say where we're gonna be, we're gonna make the host of the place kind of pissed at us, which probably wouldn't be good because we don't want this nice man to be pissed at us.
That's right.
Boy, am I dancing a lot. I'm sorry. I hate to be evasive like that. Let's just say after the fact we'll be able to talk about it. But it's an investigation location that has been seen on numerous times on TV with a couple of the leading investigators. Ghost Adventures has been there, certainly others. A very great one from TAPS, the group from TAPS, they were up there, and I thought it was really cool. And so watching what they do. So I've seen a little bit of it. I am a little bit intimidated, but I've really tried to stay out of the loop other than what I saw on TV. But I've tried.
Mark, you also need to stay away from any closets or any
yes.
small rooms with doors that I can shut behind you.
Yes. For those who don't, a little heads up for anybody who goes investigating with Joe. Joe's a practical joker. And if you decide that you want to go in a very scary place, Joe's going to see an opportunity to lock you in and then have a very big laugh on your expense. I love the guy. He's funny, but he'd throw you somewhere and lock the door and have a big laugh. So, but that's okay. I just, as they say, paybacks are something else. So.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about this next one because, you know, it is it is kind of an interesting place. And, you know, it's the first time we'll be there. And so we'll be very much wide-eyed about the whole thing.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a great experience. And I'm sorry, everyone, that we're kind of being so coy about this, but we do have to protect the wonderful people who are letting us go up and have some fun. So let me just say that we'll get back to you the Thursday after 5. Maybe, Joe and Becky, we can have you back on that Thursday. The Thursday.
Yeah,
after,
that's fun.
I think that would probably be July 1st. We'll have you back to talk about that. Could you put that on your schedule?
Sure. I love it every time we get to talk to you, either personally or on the air. So
perfect. Okay. Well, then we'll have you back on July 1st, and then we'll all stop being so cute and adorable, and we'll tell you actually what's going on.
until we discuss the next mystery location.
Yes, the next one, because we're not always supposed to be where we end up sometimes, I guess is a way to say that. Don't do as we say, kids. That's not okay. Always play safe.
Yeah.
And get permission from your parents to be out.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
All
okay.
Right. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us, and I'm looking forward to seeing your faces real soon. We both are.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Bye, you guys.
We'll see you guys.
Bye,
Becky.
Bye, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
Becky, Joe, we'll see you soon. Take care. And that was our daughter, Katie, listening in. Okay, we'll see you guys soon. Good night.
Okay, we'll see you. Good night.
All right. Well, we're gonna. I think that we'll have to. I think we should probably say good night. Barbara, was there someone that wanted a reading tonight? Okay, Jody, if you're available, I'm here to be of assist. If you want to give us a call.
No, actually, she has a question in the chat room.
Oh, okay.
And she wanted you to meditate on it.
Want me to look at this and get back to her off the air or on the air?
No, on the air is fine. She has a friend who she thought was dealing with cancer, and she was driving down to D.C. saying that she was going to get treatments, and Jody found out that that wasn't the case. She was actually driving down every day. Let's see. She wasn't sick. She was driving down every day because the Army is holding hearings to have her removed. So she wanted to know, was she really sick or is she lying about it? And if she is, she's really disappointed that this woman was not telling her the truth. And she just wants to know if she's sincere about this or just making it up.
I would tell you this, is I feel like that your friend is not being honest with you, and that if she's saying one thing, I feel like that she's got herself caught up in perhaps a couple of not complete truths. So I would ask you to be very cautious and to be there. I think eventually she will be honest with you, but I don't feel that she's physically ill. I think that she's feeling a great deal of pressure, then that, in fact, could have some physical manifestations. But I think that your friend is going to need some understanding, and I hope it's something that she can finally come out and be honest with you about. I feel that she is very embarrassed and conflicted, frankly, about her experience, and that she's always identified herself in a very clear way about her role, her job. And I would also ask you, and anyone, especially in today's times where our jobs are not always as secure as we'd like them to be, that do not, put yourself in a position where you are your job. Nobody is their job. We can always find there's other work for us, and that it's the way it is. I mean, I used to think I was, and it put me in a very bad spot. So don't ever feel that you have to lie and cheat and be on, or be dishonest to the people you love if something isn't going well at work. And I feel that this lady is learning a very difficult lesson, that just because she's identified herself in her job, that, well, there's more to her than that. And so That would be what I would ask you to remind her, that she is not her job, that she is not a profession, and that there are other jobs afterwards. And the sooner she recognizes it, the healthier she'll be, and the more value she will be able to provide and give to the people that love her and depend on her. So, Barbara, I think we'll have to say good night, and thank you all for listening. I wanted to thank our friends, Joe and Becky, and certainly Fiona Horn. Joe and Becky, Mendoza, 3AM Paranormal. If you're looking for a great meetup group, if you go with them, I promise you'll have a very professional, terrific experience, a memorable experience, because they know where the activity is. I also wanted to say thanks again to Fiona. If you'd like a reading from me, I am available at markpositivelypsychic.com, and that Barbara and I are going to be trying to get out a little more, and you're going to see and hear about more investigations coming up. We're very grateful for that. We're grateful for all of our listeners around the world and across the United States. It's a real privilege that you would take the time to listen to us, and we hope we make it interesting for you. And we look forward to having some new and exciting guests coming up very soon. So until next week, have a positively psychic week. And Barb, do you want to say goodnight?
Yeah, I was just going to say we'll be keeping you up on all our latest adventures, and we're heading up to Wolf Manor. No, it's all right. Becky, well, she already said it.
Oh, all right.
Anyway, we're heading up there, but we'll let you know how that goes. And that's about it.
So until next time, folks, have a wonderful evening. Thank you and good night.
This has been a Para-X production, sponsored by CBS Radio. We'll see you next week on Positively Psychic. This is Barbara Nelson from Positively Psychic. We would like to thank all of our listeners from all over the world for tuning in every week on the Para-X Radio Network to Positively Psychic Radio, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for all of you. Each week, we look forward to bringing you cutting-edge web radio with leading experts in the paranormal field, along with free readings from psychic medium Mark Christopher Nelson. If you would prefer a private reading with Mark, you may schedule one at his website, www.positivelypsychic.com, or request a reading via email at mark@positivelypsychic.com. We hope you enjoy listening and downloading our podcasts as well at positivelypsychic.podomatic.com. Keep listening, and we'll keep bringing you great paranormal talk radio on Para-X with the Positively Psychic medium, Mark Christopher Nelson. So we'll see you here next time on Positively Psychic Radio.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.